adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Joining us tonight, Crystal Method. Guys, isn't it nice when the host of the show yells out at his co-host, "Don't talk," and then goes right to the mic. Mike, isn't that good?
Well, Drew,
you know, can I break the... my wife and I are religious listeners, and you guys... A little rub the last few times,
Yesterday. Adam's working very, very... Listen, in Adam's offense, he's working very, very hard, and he gets a little crabby.
You get two shows on the
air, like working.
Well, yeah. Three shows, actually.
I get cranky. But Drew, you know, he pulls my chain. I mean, he knows he's always on my last nerve. That's the whole thing. And, well, you know what Drew does that drives me nuts is he likes to talk to the guest right as the show's beginning. And the guest figures, well, if this guy's talking to him, I guess it's cool to talk, and no one has their headphones on, so they get in a conversation. The show starts with the guest answering half into a question that Drew asked him mere seconds before we went on the air. I find that to be a poor radiomanship.
Thus, when the radio mics heat up, Adam yells, "Don't talk."
That's right.
But we got Anderson here. He's a maestro on the mute buttons, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He is a gifted child.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Crystal Method has been a part of this show since we got started, or at least feels like it. I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you. I look at almost every guest as a pain in the ass on this show. I really do. I look at it as a guy who's standing in front of me in one of those gangbang films where you're trying to set the record. I look at guests as that guy whose ass I'm staring at, who's in front of me when we're trying to set the gangbang record. I know it's a horrible thing for a host to be. Most hosts get upset when guests don't show up. I couldn't be happier about it. You remember? Remember?
Oh, yes. Yes.
When that guy from, what the hell, Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
What the hell's his name? Guy came in. He was a pain in the ass.
Oh, good.
Jerry Cantrell.
Yes.
He came in here and... He was talking about, he didn't want to talk about Deuce Daly or Stain Thompson or the guy who died from the band.
Lane,
yeah. I'm thinking of a running back from the Eagles. But he came in, he said, listen, he was under a lot of pressure. He said, I don't want to talk about this. I said, well, you know, sometimes it comes up. I can't help it if someone calls in and brings it up. It's an important subject. And he said, no, listen, if this is the way it's going to be, I don't know. I maybe I shouldn't do the show. And Drew, you saw my eyes light up. I was like,
wow.
Hey, if tonight's not your night, that's cool, buddy. I won't hold it against you. But everyone goes against me when I tell them that. I got to figure out a strategy because then I say to the guy, hey, I understand. You've been under a lot of pressure. It's cool. You didn't know what the show was about. Hey, if you leave, there's no questions asked. No, nobody's going to hold a grudge. And everyone's response to that is like, well, maybe I'll stay. I got to figure out a way to get people out of here.
What's interesting, our body language, we're literally up and showing them the door at that point. We're up, like, opening the door. Okay, yeah, no big deal. Don't worry, no sweat.
Yeah, but God bless him, he came back. But so I am the only host that does not like guests on a show.
Except.
Unless.
Yes.
They're a member of Crystal Method.
You're too kind.
Because these guys are fans of the show. They're good guys. I don't even know music. I can never figure that out. The techno, house, dance, whatever you want to call it. I can't believe you two are the masterminds behind the Crystal Method. It's ridiculous.
I'm sure you mean that well.
You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should both hang your heads. These guys just seem like nice guys. Not musicians.
Not the pain in the ass musicians.
I think some of the previous electronic guys, like...
They're the biggest pains in my ass.
Especially the English ones, right?
Oh my God.
That Oakenfold.
Jesus Christ.
He was a nice guy. He
seemed like a nice guy.
I know, but this music especially, I mean, if we could get some country guys in here, I'm sure they'd mellow out a little bit, have a beer, and put their boots up on the table.
Woody Nelson.
We had Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Woody Nelson.
Wow. Willie Nelson was on this show and much easier than half the guys you haven't heard of who are from some techno band. That's all I'm saying. But well, not Crystal Method.
You're too kind. Thank you.
I love these guys. I just remember thinking, I usually like lament out loud about who I have to talk to during the course of the show, and I thought, oh, good, Scott and Ken are going to be in from Crystal Method. I don't have to think about it.
My favorite part about Scott and Ken is they've become a part of the fabric of this show. Because they've come to represent people that we know and know well, I've seen a million times, and walk up to and introduce ourselves to.
No, that's you, Drew. I know the boys.
But I mean, I know it, but that became the ultimate. I mean, that's as bad as it got.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last time we were here, you weren't here, Drew.
Bruce.
Dr. Bruce was here.
It was the acoustic Christmas one time I introduced him.
That was years ago. Let's not live in the past. I did mention to Jimmy that I know Jimmy has some connection with the Crystal Method, and I said the guys from Crystal Method are going to come in tonight, and I thought he was going to say, yeah, tell him I said hi, but... He didn't say that. He said Ken fired me. Ken was Jimmy's program director.
That's a good story.
And fired Jimmy Kimmel, everybody. What a strategic move that was in your career. Jimmy Kimmel. And who's heard of him since?
A lot of foresight there.
Where were you when you fired?
You know what's so funny? Jimmy came up to me at one of those weenie roasts, and it was when Jimmy was doing the sports... updates on K-Rock Mornings, and comes and says, Jimmy Kimmel one. I'm like, oh, hey, Jimmy, nice to meet you. Big fan. I think you're hilarious. he says, Ken, you don't remember?
Oh.
I'm like, what are you talking about? You fired me.
Now, where did you fire him, and how did you get in a position to fire anybody?
No. KUNV in Las Vegas is the college radio station.
He was the program director.
Did Jimmy go to Las Vegas University?
He went to UNLV for a couple of semesters, as I recall, and that's probably where Ken canned him.
Well, you know, my thing was all about music, and Jimmy was doing something in the daytime. I don't know what, and he brought on some DJ from another commercial radio station, and I hated
it. In Ken's defense, there's a lot of people he fired that haven't made it, so we should give him a little...
Well, that is true. Right.
No,
you're right. That is fair. I mean, Jimmy's one guy's had some success, but there's probably 10,000...
They're all listening up there.
10,000 Ricky Rankins for everyone Jimmy Kimmel that Ken has gone through. All right. Now, the CD is called Community Service. It is out as we speak. We're going to hear some stuff off of that, and we highly, highly recommend it to our Loveline listeners. All right. So let's take a call. Speak to Tanya, who's 17. Tanya?
Tanya.
Uh-huh. Are you high?
No.
Are you high, Tanya? No. Give me a break. How do you spell that?
T-A-N-N-A.
T-A-N-N-A?
Yeah.
Where's the A?
That's Anya?
That's Tana.
That's Tana.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
So it's Tanya?
No, it's Tanya.
Oh, it's Tanya. But everyone thinks you're saying Tanya, and you're mispronouncing it, right?
No.
How do you spell your name?
T-A-N-N-A.
No Y in there.
Nah.
So that's...
It's like...
it's Tana, right?
But it's with the thing over the N probably.
I've heard you talk about this before, Adam.
Oh, you got... Yeah. You got
the names thing.
You got one of those sombreros over one of the N's that turns tortilla or senor into...
Senor.
Right, senor? Aye! No?
No.
All right. All right. Not everyone calls you Tanya. Everyone you meet first?
Yeah, they're like, what? How does that come out to be Tanya? I was like, I don't know.
All right, change it. Change it. You'll be forced to change it under my under my rule I get in charge. All right, what's up?
Me and my boyfriend have been dating for 7 months, and we've been having sex for 4. And for the past, I'd say, about 3 or 4 weeks, he hasn't been able to stay hard during intercourse. And I was just wondering if he could tell me what's wrong or give me some advice to do something.
Is he on any medication?
No.
Is he doing drugs when he goes limp?
No.
Are you constantly correcting him on the pronunciation of your name?
No.
That would kill it for me.
How long before he goes limp?
Huh?
How long before he goes limp?
I'd say about 5-10 minutes.
And he's not ejaculating?
No.
And then going limp?
And where is he when his... where's his penis when it goes limp?
Inside?
Inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's a slap in the face as a woman.
Does he drink alcohol?
He does on occasion, but not a lot.
How old is he?
He's 19.
19. And losing it while he's in.
Yeah.
Drew is a passionate man. You have not only no understanding of this, but no sympathy for the lad. Am I right?
No.
He's dumbfounded.
I'm addled. I'm trying to figure this
Smoke's
out.
Smoke's coming out of Drew's ears. His glasses are cracked and they're fogged over. Wow.
I was really sympathetic. I was like, it'll be okay, you know, because I talked to him about it about a week ago, and I was asking him, you know, are you still sexually attracted to me, or am I doing something wrong, or am I not doing something? And he's like, no, you're fine. It's not you. It's with me. He's like, I'm very frustrated. I don't know what's happening, and this has never happened before.
Is he depressed or anxious or anything else going on in his life?
Not really.
Hmm. Well, he ought to be checked out medically just to be sure it's not something funny going on that way. God knows.
Gay? Could he be gay?
Lord, I hope not.
Because I really, there's one thing, there's that anxiety thing where you can't get the erection and you can't really get started. But once you get started and you're losing it as, you know, midstream while you're in motion, that's a bad sign.
That's a
for
one,
a 19-year-old?
Yeah. Lord, I hope not and no. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so you guys all got homosexual vibe, huh?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I don't know.
I got a vibe because when you asked her about the drugs, she hesitated on that. No.
That's what I would think. That'd be the most likely thing.
Does he do
mind.
Drugs? You could, you know, you're actually, nobody's going to know. Does he do drugs?
No. He drinks.
All right.
Is he drinking? And he's not drinking when you're together?
No.
How about if you gave him oral sex? Would he keep it going?
Well, I mean, he's totally fine during oral sex or anything up until 5 minutes into it. Yeah. I don't know. He can stay hard if he's not inside of me.
That's well, if you're giving him oral sex, can you finish him off that way?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
You could do that. Has he got any fetishes?
Not that I know of.
I think that's what you're going to hear about next.
Really?
Yeah.
And what if she's really moist down there and he kind of loses that
it's possible.
Friction.
This is when guys become overwhelmed by the whole situation of being with
Paul Guinness, I think.
That they start
says
they,
no.
They have these means of managing it all, and that's what a fetish is. So she's gonna start hearing about stuff he needs in order to function sexually.
Yeah, good times. Talk to Tanya.
Bad times. Oh,
wait a minute. This is really Tanya, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I kill these parents with their Tanya. Yes. It's such an F you to society. Everyone's, you go around and says, here's the deal. I like sock the parents that give their kids these crazy names right in the nuts. I kick that dad right in the nuts with a steel-toed boot. And then I get mad at the kids later on in life because you just got to change it.
Change it, yeah.
Because you go through your whole life correct. Your first interaction with everyone you meet is you correcting them. Do you understand that? Every person you meet, whether it's a hostess, at a TGI Fridays, or it's a guy you meet at the bar, or it's the mechanic over at the Firestone.
The judge.
Whoever you meet, whoever you talk to, it's Tanya. No. Let me correct. And let me tell you the kind of guy I am. People call me Alan. I don't say anything. I roll right with it. My thing is, hey, if I ain't effing this person, I ain't working with him, I'm not seeing him tomorrow, if the guy wants to call out, you know, if I'm waiting in line for some upgrade at an airline or something, they call me Alan, but I'm right on it.
Of course.
I don't even care.
Of course.
Thank you, Drew. Drew, really, I've never seen you agree with me so passionately. Of course. Tanya?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm suffering from an eating disorder, and I haven't had my period in probably two and a half years.
That's not good.
And I had unprotected sex on Friday evening, and I was wondering what the possibilities of getting pregnant are.
What's with the eating disorder? What do you have?
Kind of a mixture of bulimia and anorexia.
But your weight's way down now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why the period's gone?
Right. And when you aren't menstruating like that, it's usually because you aren't, well, one of the things that's happening is you're not producing enough estrogen, and you can actually be at risk for softening of the bones and bone fractures. Are you taking estrogens?
I'm not, but I'm
like in some treatment program, so people, doctors are aware.
So they're talking about maybe doing something like that.
Right. So what's the deal? If you don't have your period, can you get pregnant?
You can, because you don't know when that egg is going to get released and your period's going to may start cycling again.
Yeah, but if you haven't cycled in like 2.5 years.
It's very unlikely, but you should be on the birth control pill anyway to try to get yourself some circulating estrogen levels, right?
Okay.
Have they suggested that to you?
No, they haven't, actually.
You should talk to them about contraception and estrogen replacement, and birth control pill would do both.
When's the last time you threw up?
Threw up from...
Yeah, whenever.
2 hours ago.
I don't care. Whenever you threw up last, because I'm personally on a roll. I got about 12 hours, and I've made my personal best.
It's been about a day.
Been a day?
Yep.
No,
yeah.
Come on, you did it today.
No, I haven't.
Really? It's good.
Did she say about a day?
About a day. She did it yesterday.
Yep.
Oh, what kind of treatment are you in that you're still vomiting?
That's good. Once a day.
Once a day is good?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my hat's off to you, Tanya.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it's like only like 365 times a year. That's not bad.
And for someone that's got medically relevant eating disorder, that's...
You know, well, what is the average? I mean, is it 3 times a day? Is it 3 meals?
Every time they eat.
Every time?
Yeah, anywhere from 1 to 3 times a day.
What about snacks? What about brunch?
I don't
Does that
eat.
Count? That doesn't count? But I'm saying, if you eat breakfast and you vomit, and then it's Sunday, you do a little brunch, something light, maybe capers on a bagel with some lox or something smoked, a little cream cheese, would you throw that up or just wait until lunch and then throw that up?
I don't eat unless it's in a binge.
Oh, you binge.
And so like, you go straight through to lunch. And then
what were you binge at? What were you binge on?
Anything.
What's your food? You don't have anything good?
It doesn't matter, any kind of food.
All right. So you're in treatment now.
Yep.
All right. Well, good times, though, right?
You're honest with your treatment team about what you're doing?
Yep, I am.
Good.
All right.
All right, thank you.
All right,
kiddo. Bye-bye.
I don't want to jinx myself, but I think I've put together like 6 months without throwing up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
I almost never throw up.
Really?
Yeah, it's really... I don't know.
What about when you get loaded, Ken?
It has to be like loaded plus food poisoning.
Really?
Yeah.
But you don't just heave just so you can go to bed?
No, I don't. My stomach can handle anything.
But what about your head? You know, when you start sticking to the pillow, you start sticking to the bed, you know, it spins. You ever get the spins?
It never feels like throwing up is going to help that.
Is that the best? Like if you're loaded,
oh, it
right?
does, yeah.
And you feel a little nauseous. I mean, and you can do, and you can cough some of that stuff up, that acid and all that. Is it better to do that before you go to sleep, or was it? Is there? I mean, this
why,
is one of those
why
weird
is it?
Questions.
Why is it such a relief?
Yes.
If it's not better.
Well, it may be just a relief, experience as a relief because of the what's going on in your brain.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, your body is obviously trying to expel as much as it can. But there also is an element of vertigo and dizziness, and you're just sort of seasick, basically. So you're
right.
vomiting. And, you know, when you're seasick and you vomit, you feel relief.
Why, though? Why? How does that work physically?
I'm not sure anybody knows the details, but there's an area of the brain called the chemoreceptor trigger zone that when it gets triggered, needs to be released. And when it's released, there's relief, and then it builds up again.
Yeah. The worst, it's when you know it's going to be a long night is when the second heave starts creeping in, and it's a weird thing. Like you're lying in bed, and this bed's spinning, and you do that thing where you flip around a little bit, like it's spinning this way, so you try to outsmart the bed. And you flip over the other way, put your head on the other side, but the bed quickly reverses direction and starts going the other way. It becomes a cat and mouse game with my bed, really.
Does anyone else feel like throwing up just hearing this?
Then I lay on my back and I go, okay, the bed isn't spinning anymore, but I can't fall asleep like this. I flip over, it starts spinning in, and I go, listen, I'm going to heave. That's it. I'll just go in the bathroom. I'll just make myself heave. And I'll go to bed.
So heave. No, it gets worse. Then you go there, you're poised, ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, you're fine. You feel good.
Yeah, the heave, the timing never works right because your heave is like, you go, okay, here we go. And you're like, you start leaning over and you're like, come on, baby. Come on. No? No? Not coming? And okay, let me get a breath. And you lean back and then, oh, shit. Oh, here it comes. No, oh, that wasn't the S word. Come on, Anderson.
You almost said it.
That was a little shush. Don't worry about it. Don't beep that out. So the point is that then you lay back in bed and you go, oh, finally some peace. And you lie there. And you just start, you start settling in, and there's a little bit of silence, and then there's a little movement. And you're thinking, uh-oh, is this bed moving again? Oh, Christ, no. Now it's a long night. Yeah. Now we know. Now there's round two. Round two is coming now.
Round two is not...
And round two, there's nothing. There's nothing in there now.
Retching. It's just retching.
Yeah,
it's good times.
My one of my big moves is I overhydrate myself. I go, oh, I got loaded. Drew tells me to hydrate. You know, drink a highball, then drink a glass of water, then drink a highball, then drink. Well, here's my plan. Here's my compromise. I'll drink 22 highballs and then 4 gallons of water before I go to bed. That way, I don't have to interrupt.
That is
have
the
to interrupt
worst,
my drinking.
The worst thing.
So I'm literally standing, just pounding glasses of water like it's some frat initiation. Just go, 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 and I drink like 22 glasses of water. Then I lay in bed and then I throw up like a fountain. It's great. And I curse you, Drew, for that.
Yeah, I didn't tell you to do it that way.
Yeah, but this whole... Okay, I know we got to take calls. But listen, I've had an ass full of everyone with their hangover remedies. I just have. This whole... Drew, I know we touch on this once a year, but I'm getting into it early this year.
All right.
This, you know, you watch the news every year around New Year's. It's the same thing. Hangover remedies coming up next. And you think, okay, good, because I get loaded. I get a hangover every New Year's and most weekends. So give me that hangover. So here it is. Well, hydration. First off, drink a tall glass of water every beer, every cocktail. After each one, drink. Okay, that's not a remedy. You understand? You drinking 5 liters of water over the course of the night while you're drinking, you know, you drink a gallon of water for each ounce of vodka you take in. That's no remedy. That's like saying, oh, you want to get in shape? Do 5,000 push-ups a day. Oh, thanks for the tip. That's not a tip, by the way. You're doing a bunch of work, and then the final tip, you know what the final tip always is? And don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it.
Okay, I see. Drink moderately. So you're saying if I just didn't leave the house, I didn't have a cocktail, would I still be vomiting? You're saying no. Let me grab the scratch pad. Where is that? Don't drink? Hold on. Honey, did we TiVo this? I got to hear what this bitch says again. Did she say not to drink? I see. There's a tip I can use. So no drinking equals, what is it, Drew, again? No hangover?
No vomit.
Oh, my God. Genius. Genius. All right. Crystal Method is our guest tonight. We're going to go to break, and then we're going to hear something from them right after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Scott and Ken are both here from Crystal Method. We're going to hear something off the CD, Community Service, in just one call. All right, let's talk to Terry Ann. Terry Ann?
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to talk to you. I've been listening since Drew was working with Poor Man, or if there was someone before Poor Man, I was probably listening then.
Hmm. And, since you were nine.
My question is, I'm 29 years old, and I'm a virgin. And I don't want to die a virgin.
This show has done its job. Finally.
Ken will nail you. Are you in the Los Angeles area?
Yeah.
Ken will do anything. He doesn't care.
No.
He's kind of prime.
What's holding you back?
Well, I think what's holding me back is...
You're fat.
Drew, please.
At the moment,
we don't know that.
I have an eating disorder. I'm 6'2", and I fluctuate between like 100 pounds and 400 pounds.
And 400 pounds?
Yes.
That's an acceptable window.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, and but that's getting like really under a lot better control.
What are you coming at? What are you weighing now?
Like 212.
Okay. So right in between.
Which for 6'2" isn't bad. Mm-hmm. It's not wonderful, but
okay.
That's great, actually. 6'2"?
It's better than 400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
better than 100.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is like, where do I start? I mean.
All right, hold on a second, Terry Ann. This is Adam.
Yeah.
Let me ask some questions here.
Sure.
First off, where are you heading? You heading toward 400 or 100 right now?
Toward 100, but I'm trying to stabilize at 212.
212.
Right.
Why don't you go ahead and stabilize about 150?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you're looking for a place to bivouac.
Bivouac?
Yeah, it's a military term for set up camp.
Okay.
If you're looking for a place to sort of pitch a tent, why don't you pitch it about 145, 150?
All righty.
That'd be a good place to pitch a tent. You wouldn't want to set up.
I think that's going to be a little light.
That's light. 6'2"? Yeah.
For
6'2"? Yeah, I think 160, 170 probably what you want.
Oh, 145.
Well, women lie around about their weight, so she will be 165. Wait a minute. Oh, 150 is fine for a 6'2 woman, isn't it? I mean, it's not. You're going for a target here, aren't we?
I mean, a 5'6 woman should be 130, 140, 130. 5'6. She's got 8 inches on a 5'6.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Play a lot of basketball.
How's the chest?
The chest is sort of small, but kind of saggy since I was 419.
Hold on, I'm going to beat off. Hold on, let me get that in my mind's eye. All right, and what do you do for a living? Can't help me out.
I work for WorldCom.
It's
really getting sadder.
And I just want Dr. Drew to know that through all the suicidal hospitalizations and everything, I always had radio and listened to you every night.
Oh, great.
Yeah. All right. So now, why are you a virgin?
Well...
Were you abused?
I was abused, but not sexually, physically. I was abused.
But you sound like somebody who's in pretty bad shape emotionally. Were you horribly abused?
Well, my brother used to beat me, but not bloody.
Right.
And my dad was just narcissistic and very far removed as far as caring about anyone. Hmm. He was in the home, but he didn't give a twit about anybody.
Right. All right.
And my mother was just very depressed and trying to keep things together.
All right. So far, you sound like you shouldn't be this bad off. Anything else happen?
Well, both my parents have a history of depression and mental illness runs in the family.
So maybe you're just depressed.
At 17, I had a break.
A psychotic break.
Into just like catatonic depression.
Huh.
And then went through a lot of ECT.
Huh.
And
shock therapy.
Still in therapy.
Good times.
And stuff. Yeah.
All right. So you want to get laid now?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a relationship?
No. I've had like one date with a guy that I really enjoyed the date and we kissed a lot and that's as far as it went.
Well, why was that only one date?
It was back during the time I had ECT. I don't remember if I just was too scared to call him back or...
Well, you know how to have a date. Is there some guy you're interested in right now?
No, I...
Do you have any friends that can introduce you to people?
I have lots of friends, but like the guy friends kind of know that I'm kind of, I send out that thing like
flirty,
but not really interested.
Well, start talking about how interested you are and see if, ask your friends to set you up and it'll come around.
Hey, Terry Ann.
Yeah.
This is Adam, the atheist voice of reason on the show.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, get yourself a guy who may not be, right out of the movies. You know what I'm saying? It may not be a matinee idol type.
I accept that, yeah.
You aim for the ground.
Aim for the ground.
That's
I know,
what I'm saying.
My number's low, right, Adam?
Well, what I'm saying
I
is...
I know that. My number is pretty low.
I don't know. I've not seen you.
I'm not hideous. I'm
just
blonde and quite good-looking, but...
I'm playing a hunch, but here's what I'm saying. I don't want to break you down. I'm just saying, don't get picky, because if you get picky, it's never going to happen. It's going to be more of an excuse for you not to go out and experience life. Go out and date. Everyone goes out and dates. They have good dates. They have bad dates.
Just try to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your goal should just be meet someone you want to go out with and go out with them because, sex will come.
I say meet someone you don't really want to go out with and go out with them. Those are the long-lasting relationships.
Those are the less sick relationships, too.
Yes.
Go with somebody boring.
Right. All right. Let's hear something from Crystal Method. This is off the Community Service CD, and this one is called The Name of the Game.
Listen, all you mother! crown. Raise the queen, the fatal mistake in your cradle. Can't shake the dream, the fire inside of your phonograph. Battle with gas to give you room to breathe through inadequate mask. Everybody can fart, let me see you pumping your fist. If you open the back door when you're rocking with this. Come on, keeping your speaker knocking, jumping, playing, bumping, blazing hot, calling all freaks. Calling all freaks now.
Crystal Method, everybody. Ken and Scott both here from the band. Good times.
It's good to have Anderson back.
Yeah, he was gone for a couple of weeks, and there wasn't the applause, there wasn't the drops, there wasn't any of that good crap that I use, really, quite frankly, as a comedic crutch. And I miss my comedic crutch.
Anderson. Anderson.
I look at him as actually my more of a comedic sort of colostomy bag, you know.
Whipping, not really crutch.
No, not whipping boy. But I'm just saying, crutch isn't quite right. I don't lean all my weight on you, but I like to cramp into you every once in a while.
When I'm not here, too, which is killing me, because I'm listening to all these shows for the best ofs, and you're like bitching about me and complaining about me, and I'm in my car, and there's nothing I can do. I can't chime.
You can drive off the road.
Be fair, be fair. He's not complaining about you. He's trying to remember who you are. Remember?
Well, you know.
I haven't heard that one yet.
The kid was gone for like 9 days. I didn't know what happened to him. I thought they just S-canned you. No one, I didn't read the memo. They usually put something up by the mirror in the bathroom. You know, it's true when they fire people.
Such a dick.
All right. Well,
Yeah.
Stay a quick call. I don't know. Is that a Fedrin call?
Five.
Jamie?
Yes?
22?
Yes.
36-year-old boyfriend?
Yes.
You're drifting mentally away during sex?
Yes, I have intimacy issues.
Mm-hmm. You've always had them?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not something new here?
Right.
What are they from?
I'm sorry?
Why do you have intimacy issues?
I'm not sure. I seem to disassociate while intercourse.
Mm-hmm. So you know what dissociation is, huh?
Yes.
So you have a dissociative disorder?
I think so.
Okay, so you dissociate during sex, so that suggests that whole mechanism of dissociation was learned during some sort of sexual trauma.
Right.
Right. So what happened?
Well, I was abused as a child. Raped as a teenager.
All right. So that's what that is. And that's why that whole phenomenon of dissociation during victimization, during sexual intercourse, is what victimizers, they can sense that that's what's going to happen to you, that you're going to be paralyzed and dissociate. Literally, there's a brain nucleus of the vagus nerve that sends you into a state of sort of anticipating demise. It's like your pulse goes down, your blood pressure goes down. It's like somebody to rip your limb off, you wouldn't bleed so much because you're preparing for the inevitable of this assault, but you can't get out of that. There's no in-between for you.
Right.
And there's no ability to assess what's really going on. This is just sort of this very, very primitive reaction from having been so severely traumatized when you were much, much younger.
Uh-huh.
And that needs a lot of treatment.
Yeah. Who did this to you when you were younger?
It was a friend of the family.
Oh, that's
daughter.
Nice.
What, daughter?
Yeah. Oldest daughter.
Oldest daughter. How old were you?
I was 11 when it started.
And what did she do to you?
Things.
Like... oral sex?
Yeah.
11. You were already submitting to that.
How old was she?
She was 19.
Most 11-year-olds would be able to sort of...
get out of that situation?
Yeah.
Right.
Why? What else had been going on with you that you sort of already were a good victim? So prone to dissociate?
I'm not sure.
So something else maybe happened before that, huh?
Right.
All right. Is your dad a piece of work?
No, my father wasn't around.
No. Oh. All right.
That would make him kind of piece of work.
I'm sorry?
And your mom, what's she like?
My mother was on drugs.
Okay. All right. So did she have some pretty unsavory guys around?
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. So maybe some of them did something to you at some point.
All right. You got something you want to tell us about your ex-boyfriend?
No.
Okay.
Do you have multiple...
Set it up on the screen.
Do you have multiple personalities?
Oh, I know. He asked me the age of my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, how old is he? Was he?
He's 49 right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a little weird.
Do you have multiple personality disorder?
I don't believe so.
You just dissociate and stress.
Right.
Okay. All right. Is this guy good, this current boyfriend of yours?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's really understanding. He takes the time to want to work on my problems that I have now.
Do you tell him you dissociate?
Yeah.
So for me, that'd just be the green light to turn the TV on.
I think that's a little...
I mean, look, let's be honest, honey. If you're going to dissociate...
I think it's a little obvious.
I'm putting on SportsCenter. It's obvious. Why? Because you're drifting off or calling
him by another
name? And
again, what you need to learn, Jamie, is other ways. You need to build in from your brain. You need to build other sort of strategies for dealing with stress other than this very, very primitive means.
Right. I get really uncomfortable with sex or intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I shy away from it.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, you dissociate. You can't get further away from it than that.
Well, what's this guy do for a living?
He's in computer sales management.
All right. All right, so stay with it then. And do your therapy and stay with the guy.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, but you know what? You're young, and sanity sometimes doesn't hit until the early 30s.
Right, okay.
So you do have plenty of time. Now look, who here was sane at age 22? Drew, you're a mess.
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 Mess, I tell you.
Mess. Clean up on aisle Drew. Drew, that could be the name of your book. And by the way, Vegas Nerve's going to be the fourth Crystal Method album as well. If I could only name things for myself. All right. I'm serious. I know everybody really thinks you're either born sane or you're born insane and you just get dealt a hand and that's sort of it. It's like the color of your eyes or something. But I don't know anyone that was even close to together before they were 30. No one I knew, no one I hung out with. A lot of my peers are sort of got it together in their early to mid-30s. And, you know, personally, I mean, at 22, I was a mess.
Yeah.
I wasn't suicidal or anything, but I didn't have anything figured out.
Yeah, in addition to that, people in their 20s treat one another like crap.
Yeah.
You know, when they're dating and stuff, it's just like no telling. All, no holds barred.
Yeah. That is sort of your time to get your career going and sort of get mentally fit as well. And everyone should just sort of look at it as that way. Yeah. Really, spend your 20s doing your education, doing your career, getting your head together. And so by the time you hit 30, you got some kind of career, and you're not cutting on yourself or getting barbells pushed through your penis. Unless it's a construction accident, you fall on some rebar. That happened to me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Piece of number four.
Nice. Right through. Oh, it's a new trend.
Yeah.
People are going to line up to have that done.
Yeah. It's still in there. They couldn't. It was one of those things where they couldn't pull it out.
You can't pull it out.
I like the part. I always like those stories where the guy gets, like, the arrow in his head.
Yeah, you
leave
it.
Or the monkey wrench up his ass or something. It's like, we had to cut it off. But it's still hanging out. It's still in there. I like that. So what happened? Well, we took the whole retaining wall, and we shipped him and the retaining wall to the hospital. We had to fly it out. Could barely get off the ground with the whole retaining wall.
Like, with a lot of delicate vessels, and if you pull it back out, you rip the vessels and...
So what are you going to do? Just leave it there and get the guy a ski hat or something?
Your body will heal around it?
No, not the piece of rebar in your head, though. I mean, I've seen things where, like, piece of rebar goes right through the guy's head, and they just leave him.
Well, you pull stuff out, and you scramble. I mean, as soon as you move brain, you touch brain, you kill cells.
All right, so just leave the rebar.
So we leave bullets in there and stuff. All right.
I like that when a guy's got a bullet. If I get shot, that's what I want. I want the bullet to stay in me so I can explain to people why I'm off. All right, we'll take a break. Crystal Method here. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ken and Scott, both here from Crystal Method, everybody. Community Service is the name of the CD.
What was the Paul Lynn move you just went through here?
I don't know why Nelson Riley
here all of a sudden.
I don't know why I was waving this menu around.
What was that?
I don't know what that move was, Drew. I don't know what that move was.
You scared me.
Yeah, I held a flyer in my fingers and I waved it about.
It really was Charles Nelson Riley.
Like I was, yes, some gay decorator who was saying something wouldn't do.
No. I can do it. They can do it. You can do it.
Oh, yeah. I am so intrigued with that guy.
Didn't they bug you guys?
No, they didn't.
They're high. I can't.
They're not. How dare you? People do techno music, do not do drugs. Stephanie?
Hi.
You're 15?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Okay. My question is, I was wondering why guys have this some fantasy with, like, lesbians.
Oh, my God. Chicks. What's going on in the background? What are you pointing at, Drew?
Culver Pitty is here for you.
Oh, good. Yeah. Fantastic. Jesus, I'm parked in a red out there,
That's why he's here, I suspect.
Oh, it's writing me up. Jesus Christ, there's no place to park in this town anymore.
Why don't you get angry with him about your need for a place to park with your name on it?
Well, they tore up the parking lot. What the hell am I supposed to do? Right. Hey, Stephanie?
Uh-huh.
Guys like women. They like women to do things that they don't want to do sexually, and they like to watch, and they're voyeurs, and there's two women doing something sexually, and
that's better than one.
That's better than one.
You know what it is? You know what it is more times than not? It's guys with girlfriends or wives or whatever thinking that they could somehow end up sleeping with someone who's not their partner.
So it's a way
and have it being okay with their partner.
It's a way of,
that's what it is a lot of times.
Right. Yeah.
Way of creating novelty without cheating.
Yeah.
And for women, I mean, here's what the threesome is. For guys, it's a chance to cheat above the board.
Right.
A legitimately cheat. It's basically like medical marijuana for the stoner. And for girls, it's a chance.
Medical marijuana.
It's all above the board, but they get to do what they want to do, and the man's not going to hassle them. And this is the same thing with guys, right? Officer Neal here, speaking of the man. And number two, for the women, it's a chance for them to experiment on another woman and possibly have a little lesbian fantasy without actually being labeled a lesbian because it wasn't a lesbian thing.
And you weren't cheating because your boyfriend was
there. Cheating. Oh, they don't care about that. But they get to actually experience a woman, but it was a threesome. They're not lesbos. It was a threesome. Do you see what I'm saying?
Do you have a boyfriend that's pushing you towards this lesbian affair or something?
Not really.
You're just curious?
Yeah.
Just wonder what guys... Right. Most women wonder why guys like that. Because, again, you got to remember, women think very differently than men. The idea of two people like one doesn't make sense.
But here's the reality with guys. It's one chick. If you could
One is good, too.
You could watch one chick masturbating. It'd be a good night. But two getting it on, better. Three, better than two. And four, better.
Four, it gets a little weird. Overwhelming. Too much estrogen. Can't handle it.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Four?
You've been in a room with four women? Forget with their clothes off.
Well, that's them talking. I'm talking about with a gag full of crotch. Next album. Fifth album. Ball gag full of...
Full crotch. That's nice.
Full of coos. Ball gag of coos.
But here's the other thing. I think men are sort of a little territorial, and not having another male in the scene is a good thing for a male.
Not having
the man around, fine, better.
Sure, because when another guy like shows up with a six pack, you have to buck heads in the hallway and crash, both knock each other back, then you get up speed and you ram each other again with your foreheads. It's tough when another male comes onto the scene. Chris?
Yeah, man, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a little break, all right?
I'm
going to need you to drop the cool attitude that may or may not be working with your friends, but it's not working over here.
Do what?
You know what I'm saying, cool guy.
You are an asshole.
Drop that cool guy facade. You're not fooling anyone over here.
All right.
It's Geek City. Geek City, USA. Do I know what? A nerd when I hear it. Yeah.
Do what?
This 15-year-old's going to out-cool me? How dare you? Take that James Dean crap out of here. All right. Scott and Ken, both here from the Crystal Method. We'll take a quick break, and we'll get back with Chris, the world's coolest 15-year-old, after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Linkin Park in here tomorrow night. Crystal Method in here tonight. Scott and Ken, both here. They are, they're it. Are they it?
They're it.
But that's enough. That's plenty of Crystal Method. Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the phones and speak to...
I got it printed for you.
Okay, Drew. Radio. Drew, you understand this mic's not an intercom system. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Drew uses the mic like an intercom. He wants to talk to me from 2 feet away. He uses the mic. I got the headphones. You got the mic. We just chat back and forth. Anything else on your mind, Drew?
No. Just look at this.
You good?
Yeah.
All right. You want me to buzz you up? Or
no, it's all right.
You want me to come down?
No, it's all right.
What time does the exhibit start, Drew? Should I come down? I'm in a towel. Hold on. All right. I'll buzz you up. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, yeah,
Mr. Cool. That's right.
Yeah, man. Dude, first off, I love the Man Show. Love Crank Yankers.
Thanks.
But I got... I have a question for Dr. Drew, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know what ephedrine is?
Yeah.
All right, well, I've been taking it, and I want to know if it has anything... that can cause, like, a lump on my balls and all?
Not specifically, but it can do a lot of other things to you.
All right, like maybe, what?
Like maybe strokes and heart attacks, and it's horribly addictive. It's converted basically into amphetamine by your body.
This is ephedrine?
Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah, but I've been taking these yellow jackets, and I heard that, like, yellow 5 and yellow 6 in them can, like, caused problems with genitals and all.
Yeah, well, not nearly. The concerns you have, I wish I could tell you that something horrible was going to happen to your genitalia. Maybe that would capture your attention.
What's the reality yellow 5 and yellow 6?
Food coloring.
Oh.
The reality is, though, that the chemicals you're involving yourself with are profoundly dangerous and could kill you and are going to cause and have already caused severe addiction. So...
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been throwing up when I take them. So, yeah, like,
Chris,
I don't know.
It's time to deal with this. Seriously, especially 15, because it actually can affect your brain development, theoretically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
On a happier note, the Crystal Method is up for an MTV Music Award. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breakthrough video. Mm-hmm.
Is it dangerous to, like, mix weed with it?
Yeah. It's all... Listen, Chris.
Yeah.
Everything you do is dangerous. All right? Don't stop doing everything. Stop experimenting.
Get some help.
You're 15. It does not look good. Your future does not look good when you're getting into all this junk.
I mean, I'm not like a drug addict or anything.
Oh, yes, you are. No, yes, you are.
You're 15, and you're doing quite a few drugs. You have a lot of questions about it.
You're doing profoundly dangerous drugs, and that's drug addiction. Use in the face of consequence.
I don't do it a lot.
The addiction is defined by use in the face of consequence. Don't have to do a lot. Just have to have consequences, but keep doing it.
And here's what you should be doing at 15. You should be, what was I doing? Doodling on peachy folders, turning the guys on the track team into gang members.
Oh, yeah, knives. Stabbing people.
The baton turns into a knife.
Nice.
And they put bandanas on everybody. And fantasizing about becoming invisible and hanging out in the girls' locker room. Those are my two big pastimes.
Come on, you forgot about the pirate fantasy.
First pirate astronaut.
Right.
That, I didn't come until 19. Yeah, I know when I talk about it, people assume I was like 8 or 9. No, I was in junior college when I came up with that. Yeah, okay?
Yeah.
This is second year of junior college when I came up with the pirate astronaut job. It seemed like a way out of the valley. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah, I pictured myself in a pirate ship, you know, but in outer space, you know, with part pirate garb, part astronaut garb, like an astronaut suit, but with just a bandana around my head and a big earring, attacking other spaceships, you know,
for their booty.
Yeah, and their women, you know, raiding, plundering, doing a lot of plundering.
What do they call those, privateers?
Yeah. Plundering is something I'm sure we're way down on as a society.
Yeah.
Probably less than half as much plundering going on as what was going on 200-300 years ago.
Yeah, less than half.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the plundering level go up just a little bit in this country. When I'm in charge, plundering, priority. Priority one. Jacqueline?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
I just had a question. By the way, Adam, love you. Dr. Drew, I think you're great.
Great.
I had a question. I have a vibrator, and a friend had told me that you can tend to lose sensitivity after a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, and it'll make it harder, I guess, to have an orgasm when you're with a man.
Or make it so that you have to include that vibrator in the action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I had a girlfriend that the vibrator became a crutch.
Mm.
Not sexually. She physically used it to hold herself up. Yeah. She couldn't afford an actual crutch. It was a huge vibrator.
Four prong.
It was humiliating. Humiliating when we would go out.
Stroke vibrator. Yeah.
You had never seen people's heads turn when your girlfriend is actually using a huge vibrator as a crutch. Yeah.
Okay.
I told her, can't we just get you a cane? No, she was too proud. Too proud. I do like the cane with the cane walker.
Yeah, with the four, it's called a stroke crutch, stroke crane.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a stroke vibrator.
Just break down and get a walker at that point. If you got a cane that stands up by itself, that's a walker. Anything that stands up by itself works its way into the walker family. Drew, that's how that works. I would explain, look, who you kidding, old lady, with that cane with the four legs on it? That's a chair with a handle on it. Who you kidding me? All right, Jacqueline?
Yes.
You're fine, baby.
Okay, now is this going to cause, it's not going to cause any long-term?
No.
How often are you using it?
Maybe like 2 or 3 times a week, but for a long period of time.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Not currently, no. I'm a full-time student and work full-time.
When you have had, like, again, that's how women think. Well, I'm too busy for that.
Well, it's not necessarily that, but I don't want to necessarily rack up any more numbers at the age of 26, you know, and I just don't have time to pursue anything, and I'm, you know, done with dating Jerk, so.
And you got that vibrator.
Well, at least you're not bitter.
You know?
Yeah.
No bitterness. That's good.
Okay, and what kind of batteries you put in there?
Like 3 C's.
3 C's.
Yeah.
All right. Duracell or a copper top type battery?
The one with the bunny, the copper top.
Ooh.
The one that just keeps going.
That's tough, because those things are noticeably different on a sort of brand name battery than they are in the cheap 99-cent store C's. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So you don't want to get used to that level. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good times.
Thanks.
Wait a minute. Let me hear those crickets in the background for a second.
Crickets in the background?
Yeah. Just hold the phone out.
Virginia crickets, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Hold them on.
Yeah, there we go. That's right.
She said, I saw fireflies in Washington, D.C.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what is that? I thought I was seeing things.
You saw fireflies?
Looked exactly like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Can't we?
Exactly. I thought, oh my God.
The Pirates of the Caribbean is what gave me my inspiration for the pirate astronaut, by the way. Actually, I did blundering. I got stoned, and I went on Pirates of the Caribbean, then I went to Space Mountain, and I thought, wait a minute. If I can combine these two. Because there's a fair amount of competition in both categories, pirate and astronaut, but not pirate astronaut. You know, I got there first. That's the way I looked at them. First in line.
So, somehow I imagine fireflies to be like constantly, you know, little lights flying. They sort of flicker on.
Can't we import some of those? I mean, I remember like as a kid when I was like in New Jersey or Philadelphia that there were fireflies around and they were cool. They're cool as a kid. We don't have anything like that out here.
No.
Can we bring some of those in? What do they need? They don't need anything. We got what they need over here.
It's a great
Somebody's
got
to bring some fireflies in. We got those goddamn killer bees from South America in here. We get everything else. We got termites that eat. We import all sorts of other crappy bugs. Why don't we import some good bugs into this state? You always hear about what other crappy bugs have flourished, and they always seem to flourish. You bring them in, and they don't have any natural enemies or whatever. They just start killing everything off, and they start going nuts. Let's bring some fireflies. Next time you're in D.C., get that jar. Get that mason jar used to transport insects. And bring over a heap of fireflies, and let's just set them loose.
All right,
see if they catch on. Mark?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yep.
Somebody tell me why firefly won't work in Southern California, because I think you're depriving your kids of a cool part of their upbringing if they miss the firefly.
I agree.
Used to be in Maryland.
Yep. You got fireflies over there, Mark?
Oh, yeah, a hell lot of them.
Yeah, and it was nice as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. These Crystal Method grew up in Vegas where they had, they didn't have fireflies, but they set hobos on fire. Still entertainment. All right, go ahead, Mark.
All right, I just wanted to know how the Crystal Method got together.
When we were living in Las Vegas, we were working at the same place, part-time jobs, and...
at a grocery store. And, I was working in video department. He was working milk and... What were you doing?
They had the
perimeter clerk. Yeah, it was a big store.
They had these big stores in Vegas, and they brought them out here for a little while until they went under. But they had these giant video departments in them, and I was in that department, where they had cameras and photos and all that.
Oh, I see.
Like, develop your film.
Like Best Buy.
Yeah, right. So it was a cushy job.
Basically, it was just by chance.
Oh, and I brought a drum machine into work one day. I was looking at it, trying to learn it during my break, and Ken walked in. And well, I think we had talked before, but not about music. And at that point, I discovered he was working on music, and I had some tracks that might work with a singer he was working with, and it just sort of developed from there. And we just continued. He moved to California. I moved out about a year later, and we struggled for many, many years, but eventually, everything worked out. So,
All right, that's great, man.
Oh, very cool. You're in Maryland.
Yeah.
I think we'll be DJing in D.C. At Buzz.
Buzz.
In a few. Wait, are you for your 14? They don't let you in Buzz though.
They don't let me in Buzz, but I hear it on the radio.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Mark. Take care.
See you later.
Bye. I thought. You guys had gotten together when you both decided to fire Jimmy Kimmel.
Then a light bulb went off.
Scott had been listening to Jimmy on the radio and didn't like him. He went in to complain to Ken. Ken decided enough was enough, and they both found that common ground.
All Ken.
Well, when I talk to Jimmy tomorrow, I'm going to say you both did. You guys are a group, after all.
Thank you.
Brenda?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah, I'm 14.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you guys, I love you guys.
Thanks.
See you guys since I was 10.
Great.
And I just wanted to know, because my boyfriend, he was sexually abused when he was 11. He's 15 now. Mm-hmm. And he's also, really, badly addicted to porn. And I want to know, how can I get help from her? Because he knows he's doing wrong, but he just can't stop it.
Well, yeah, that's really what addiction is, that you continue using in face of consequence, spending a lot of money, screwing up relationships, that sort of thing. Is it internet porn primarily?
Well, yeah, wherever he can get it.
So whatever comes
Are you having sex with him?
No.
No? Okay. You're doing your part. God bless you.
Okay.
And so he's just masturbating excessively?
Oh, he's doing anything he can. I mean...
That's beating off. Well, what do you mean, anything he can?
Well, he tries to get porn any way he can, and he's just...
Yeah, right. But that doesn't mean addiction. That means 15, 16-year-olds.
Right. Are you sure he's addicted to this?
Yeah, and he's admitted him himself, so...
That he... Yeah, but is he sort of making a joke of it, like any 16-year-old?
No, maybe he's working an interesting angle, which is she keeps busting him, and he's like, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
What are you
going
to do? You know what I mean? I need help.
Or he's hoping that she'll solve his problem.
Yeah. Brenda?
Yeah.
You seem pretty involved with this. Are you sure he's not just sort of saying it to appease you?
No, I'm positive, and it's, like, really serious.
Well, how do you catch him, or how do you find out about this?
Well, he tells me he needs help, and
tells you he needs help after you catch him?
No.
What are the consequences he's having from the use?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. He's just constantly just crying about it, you know, he feels, like, depression and stuff.
But what are the consequences? People feel better when they're addicted to this stuff. That's why they keep doing it.
Yeah.
The consequences are they spend a lot of money. They, you know, do dangerous things.
What bad things happen because of him getting porn?
Right.
Well, it's like just all out there. It's kind of.
All right. Let me talk to them. I speak fluent teenage gibberish.
Oh, gee, thanks,
Brenda.
Yeah.
You're not providing a whole lot of answers for us. And he was molested, you say?
Yeah.
Who did this to him?
His best friend's dad.
Okay, it was an older man molested him when he was young.
Is he looking at a certain kind of porn?
No.
Okay. He's not looking at children or men or anything like that?
He was involved with children's porn.
All right. Well, there's a consequence.
Okay,
all right. That's against the law.
Right. So, anyway... Forget about his porn addiction for a second, and let's just say here's a guy who was victimized and needs to get some therapy for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's manifesting itself in the form of pornography, but it's really, he needs help for what this guy did to him.
Yeah.
Indeed, now it's beginning to shape up like a sexual addiction or sexual compulsivity anyway, and the Del Amo Treatment Center out in Torrance, or Hawthorne, I think they're in, Del Amo Treatment Center, they deal with this stuff a lot. And it really, again, we've talked earlier tonight about dissociation. That's what sex addicts do. They tend to sort of use dissociation as a way of gaining arousal and getting in touch with parts of themselves and getting relief. And they get compulsively involved in this, and they can't get out of it until they really undo some of the trauma associated with the original
Didn't we have a discussion once about how the Del Amo Mall and the Del Amo Treatment Center should be in the city of Del Amo?
Yeah.
That because it's not, it makes it slightly confusing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd like to look into that. Where is Del Amo? Did we figure out what that meant? Jesus Christ. I would move right out of that Del Amo if I was in that Del Amo. I don't even like places that sound far away. I don't know why certain places sound farther than they are. Explain this, Drew. Why does Panorama City sound further than Reseda?
Because it sounds like it's somewhere out up in the mountains.
Panorama City
is
much closer to you than Reseda is.
Yes, it is.
But Reseda sounds closer than Panorama City.
Yes. And of course, Panorama City is next to Sunland, which looks, of course, like Sunland.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like Sunland. Alex, don't get me going on my jag. Let me just tell you guys this.
Here we go.
I'm not going on this jag, but I do want to say this. I have a lot of people that I work with who are from different parts of the country. And they move out here and they relocate and they go to work. Like, for instance, Crank Yankers is moving out from New York to L.A. And there's a whole bunch of people that are going to move out and work on the show. And they're from New York, they're from Boston, they're from Chicago. They don't know the difference between Panorama City and Encino or Sunland, Sun Valley. They don't know Hawaiian Gardens. They don't know the difference between. They don't realize that some of these places are horrid, wretched places. As a matter of fact, the better the name, the worse the place. And this is why it's confusing. And I think at least a lot of people move in and they go, hey, I'm going to live at Hawaiian Gardens. That sounds great. They don't realize it's a dump. So here's the thing. I don't want cities to have names. I want them to have numbers. Okay? And in which case, Encino might be number three. Panorama City be 447. Easily. Easily. And also, it gives the city some incentive. Because when you're named Hawaiian Gardens, you sit on your fat Hawaiian ass and soak up all the naive idiots who are moving in from out of town. It's like, listen, hey, how about we pick up some garbage? How about we get some cops? How about we do some street cleaning? How about we fix that light? Nah, we don't have to. We're Hawaiian Gardens. People will come anyway. We got a bitchin' name. Yeah, but if you're 752...
You got to improve your number.
Now you got to get on it. Now, don't
and
you?
And if you're moving up, you could be like 45 with a bullet.
That's right.
You're going up.
Yeah, that's part of your thing. It's like, hey, we're 114, but you know what? This time last year, we were in the threes.
So really,
come on. Hitch your wagon to this team, baby, because we're going to the top.
Cities will become like Ford dealerships.
That's right. They do battle to see who's the best. It's free market. Understand, the way we do it now, it's the Soviet Union. Because Hawaiian Gardens and Sunland is always going to sound better.
It's undemocratic.
Yes.
Okay.
It's undemocratic. People move to Sunland. They don't know this is a gang-infested dump over there. That Sun Valley's a pit. They don't know the Hawaiian Gardens sucks. They don't know the Panorama City sucks. That these are dangerous, dicey, crappy areas. But you'd move there. I would sue.
You know, Tahunga doesn't sound very good, and it's not.
Well, that's true.
No, Tahunga sounds like wilderness. You know, it's like,
Tahunga sounds like some place some Indians would try to open a casino.
Yeah.
Tahunga sounds like... Tahunga's a push. I agree. But I'm just saying, if I was out on the East Coast and my company wanted to relocate me out to Southern California, and they said, put me down for Hawaiian Gardens, Panorama City, Sun Valley, Sunland, sounds great. I would sue the city when I got... I would have a lawsuit against Sun Valley. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Give them numbers. Give them numbers. Then we'll see some competition start cropping up. No, just give them a number. That is their trophy, their number. How fast would you want to change if you were Sunland and you were in the 700s out of like 600 cities? Somehow they got 100 to go before they even get to the other city. All right, where are we here?
Hey, we're on a break.
Now, we got a question for the band. Alex?
Yeah, all I have to say is, Adam, you're gone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, I had a question for the Crystal Method.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Crystal Method?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw you guys at Metropolis last week. Your set was off the hook.
Oh, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was great.
Yeah. And also...
It was a great crowd out there. It was a fantastic crowd, actually.
Yeah. I was wondering, how was to, make your first mix CD, the community service? Instead of, all your other albums, the songs that you made, you know?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, in the end of last year, we played a bunch of live shows, and at the second half of the tour dates, we did nothing but DJing, and we found that we really really had a great time, and we've got a lot of great records, and we put them together, and fortunate enough to get this community service CD out and play for you in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And the Bay Area would have a fairly high number.
Yeah.
I mean, fairly low number. But that's good. I like the Bay Area. What part of the Bay Area are you in?
The East Bay.
East Bay.
Yeah, by Oakland and stuff.
Uh-oh. You're sliding now. Like you to get a little closer to Marin.
Yeah.
Get a little lower number.
There's some good views on that other side, though.
That is true. Well, their whole thing is their city's lowest number or highest number would still be lower or higher than our highest. You see, we could do better than that.
Your numbers would have to be based in your area. Like, for each area, there has to be a total...
No.
However many communities there were...
Each area. You're saying, San Francisco... Yeah, however many communities, that's what it is. If there were 55 communities, there'd be 55 numbers. Right. Yeah, Southern California probably has, I don't know, 200 or 300. There would be 300. But I would love to be able to find the city and slap them with that lowest number on it. And I would work out the criteria.
Right.
It would be crime. It would be strip clubs per capita. You would think it wouldn't be a good place to live by the airport. But as it turns out, there's two strip clubs for every guy. For every person living in that community, there's two strip clubs. Every man, woman, and child. All right, we'll take a little break. Crystal Method is our guest, and we'll be back after this. Yeah. Scott and Ken both here from the Crystal Method. Once in a while, a guy comes around who's got both, gentlemen. Got the looks.
Really, really good and really, really appealing.
And the quality, yeah.
That is what I think of when I think of Adam Carolla.
That's
really
right.
Really appealing. Really talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Who was saying you had a radio face, Adam?
Yeah. Who said I had a radio face? How
some very
they?
Funny man.
I think Tom Shale. No?
No. Oh, Tom Shale. Oh, let me say something to Tom Shales, by the way.
Here we go.
You poor guys had to show up while I'm doing this rant about cities. So we're going to hear it. Tom Shales is...
Let's play the song while you're
he's rant. A reviewer. He's a reviewer for the Washington Post, I believe. And he said some very ugly things about me in years past. And I just want Tom... to know that Crank Yankers just got picked up for another 20, so you fat fag, you can just kiss my fat, hairy ass. Anyone who talks to Tom Shales, tell him Adam Carolla told him to kiss his hairy ass while he laughs to the bank, you old queen, you old windsock. Old gay Tom Shales is an old gay windsock just sitting over his word processor typing crap that apparently no one ever reads because the more bad stuff he said about me, that's when things really took a turn for the best. Really? Remember that, Drew? Everything worked out, yeah, magically.
No showmanship.
Keep riding, you old blowhard homo. Keep riding.
Neanderthal.
Keep
no
it coming, you old homo.
Isn't that what he called you? Neanderthal with no showmanship?
That's right. That's right. Obviously, he wanted to suck me off. Obviously. Who else would write that? Big puss. Hey, if you got any problem with that, Tom Shales, you did anytime, anywhere. You just bring your homo ass up to me. I'll give you a nice ass kick.
All right, let's
old puss.
Let's
old
no,
queen.
No, let's listen to a song.
Old homo. Keep riding, you old sack ass. Keep riding. And listen, everyone can blow me because you write bad. These guys, they write crap about you all the time, and then you're supposed to just sit there. Oh, got a bad review. Yeah, come blow me, you old queen. Jackass. These idiots. Keep writing. No one's reading it. All right. Drew, we got to bring this thing on one. This review. It's great.
Review. Do you still have it?
I got it somewhere at my house.
Oh, that's fine.
No showmanship. Says I don't have any showmanship. I got more showmanship than Liberace and Evel Knievel put together. How dare they say Adam Carolla's not a showman. No showmanship. By the way, if you ain't gay, you're using words like showmanship in your review. 2000, you're talking about showmanship for a cable show? Jesus Christ, you old queen. All right, let's hear something from the Crystal Method. What about it? You guys
yes,
ready?
What a great yeah. idea.
All right, this one's called Boom.
No going when it's time to handle business that we
That is the Crystal Method.
It's a remix of POD that we did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the hell? I should have paid attention.
It's a bumper that we use all the time. Want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear the bumper. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pacha!
That's the original.
But it's like unrecognizable now, right?
Right.
Especially when we're talking about Tom Sales.
During the break, I'm still yelling about him. All right. We're going to take some calls. Crystal Method here and Community Service, the name of the CD. Aaron.
Yeah.
25.
What's that? 25,
you're 25 years of age. What's up?
Yes. Oh, okay. So my boyfriend really likes me to stick things up his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went shopping at Ralph's, and I started with the jalapeno pepper, worked my way up to the zucchini.
Ooh. You really want to start with the jalapeno, huh?
Well, we were going to throw a condom on it. So anyway, the point of the story is that he went straight to the cucumber and was like, is it in yet? And now he wants me to go to the store and buy, like, the biggest dong I can find and just give it to him. And I'm wondering, like, what's up? Is that okay for his insides? Am I going to damage him? Is he gay?
Hold on a second. We're going to converse amongst ourselves, okay. All right? I would say this is bogus.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's bogus.
But chicks don't have the bogus gene.
There could be a bunch of guys that are just laughing their ass off.
Yeah, she does. She's kind of, yeah, she sounds
However,
like,
this is a...
And she's calling from Silver Lake, which is just a mecca for weirdos over there.
She wants some jalapeno peppers. I thought that was a strange, like, the way she... That seems a little bogus.
Put a condom on a jalapeno pepper?
But let's do deal with those really quickly, though, because a lot of, like, fuck...
Ooh. Jesus, true.
Forget about it is what Drew was saying.
Yeah, he didn't say the F word, Anderson. Don't stop that. If a guy gets halfway into the F word, it's not swearing. Hey, Aaron?
Effing Cosmo would have you believe that all men love stuff, you know, against their prostate entering through the anus. And I would say, give me an estimate. Less than 5% of men actually enjoy that?
Yeah.
Maybe less than 3%?
I don't know any guy who will admit it, actually.
Yeah. But not just admit it. Most guys are sort of aversive, like, don't do this.
Like, anything that is close to that area is...
Not comfortable, not good, not enhancing, not anything. So don't believe what Cosmo says. Now... If indeed your boyfriend is into it, some guys are, and that's fine. But the fact that you're looking to use larger and larger objects is a concern, and that you can tear that, you can cause hemorrhoids, you can even rupture the colon.
Hey, you're telling me you had a cucumber in this guy and he didn't know it was there?
No, like, he knew it was there, but he was just, you know, being sarcastic about that, the fact that, like, he could really pack it in. Because he tries to give it to me, and I can, like, barely take it. I got to totally use the anal ease lube and, you know, relax and deep breathe and everything. And he,
you're living in Silver Lake?
Yeah.
What is it that draws all the anal people to the Silver Lake area? What's up with just the weirdos over there? It's a bunch of bohemian nut jobs over there.
It is, man. I love it. It's great.
I know. You know, Silver Lake is funny. It's like half crazy homo artists and then poor Mexicans who must be confused by these idiots who are running around packing things into their ass and painting all day. It's quite diverse over there.
It is.
It's really, I'd say Silver Lake is the even above Venice would be the artisan mecca of Los Angeles. Would you agree, Aaron?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, is this guy, is he bi at least?
Well, he doesn't think so. He says he's pretty straight, but he likes to do things that are pretty bi. And I'm really bi, so I'm really open, and I, like, get off on him talking about doing bi things, but... Okay. I don't know. It's confusing for him.
And it's not, difficult or degrading for you to pack things into his rectum like it was an overnight bag?
No. I love it. I mean, I strap it on and I give it to him, so.
Okay.
It's all good. It's just the way we play. We also like to urinate in each other's mouths, so we're kind of...
Well, sure. Again, I don't think they won't lease you an apartment in Silver Lake unless you urinate in someone else's mouth or pack something in someone's ass. Oh, my God. Yeah, I tell you, you got to put the top up, roll the windows up, lock the doors, drive to that Silver Lake.
I guess you guys don't get into arguments about not putting the seat up in your place.
Right. No. It's
what do you do? How do you prep before you rape somebody with a strap on? I mean, what does one do?
Well, you know, you just kind of put it on and you talk sweet and tender to each other.
I mean physically? Does he need to clean himself out? Does he need to evacuate himself?
No, just throw a little, like, you know, lubrication down there and you're good to go.
And by the way, what is sweet and tender about somebody ramming something in
because
the
Because it's an intimate thing, you know, for a man to be able to open up like that.
Please.
Open up. It's not like he's spilling his innermost thoughts. He's spreading his ass cheeks.
But it's a very vulnerable place to be for a man.
Yeah, well, so is being raped with a mop in prison. Very vulnerable. Of course it's vulnerable. You're killing this guy with a strap on.
He loves it.
All right. All right. Don't have kids with this guy.
Okay.
Don't have kids with yourself either.
Yes, thank you.
Could you do that?
Okay.
All right. And just for kicks, what do you screwballs do for a living over there?
Teach yoga.
No, perfect. All right. Perfect.
Both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Really, you know what I'm talking about with this Silver Lake, right?
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. It's very strange, but I love it here, man.
Oh, no, listen, you're the queen of Silver Lake.
She's a poster children.
She's considered conservative by Silver Lake standards.
They're on the Rose Parade float. This is a really
only one strap on at a time? La-di-da. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. The Crystal Method is here, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ken and Scott, both here from the Crystal Method. They're all right by me. Linkin Park in tomorrow night. When was Linkin Park in here last?
Year? Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
Weren't they?
We liked them.
Yeah.
What was that other band we didn't like? At the Drive-In. Wonder what happened to them. Very sad. Yeah, them and Chumbawamba. Such delights. It's really sad when bad things happen to bad bands. All right, let's Chumbawamba. Idiots. Oh, Dave, we got to make a whole list of bands we hate. What? Oh, did I press the wrong one? Crystal Method would not be on that list. Nick?
Hello?
They'd not be on any list because Drew couldn't remember their names. But I'd bring them up, and I'd put them on the good list. Right, guys? Right.
Nick, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
What's up? 24.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say I really miss your MTV show. I used to watch that all the time.
Thank you.
It was really good.
I missed it, too, because it was easy.
Yeah, it was easy money. I never knew how easy that money was. All he did was complain, and it was easy money.
Yeah, I have a problem. I started dating a girl about 7 months ago, and we really got serious really fast. And we're engaged, and I, you know, really am in love, and so is she. And I kind of haven't told her that I had a vasectomy. And I want to get it reversed, like, soon, and I do have the money. Like, I checked into it. It's not covered by insurance, but...
Do you have a vasectomy that can be reversed?
I talked to the nurse, and they said it could. They've done... It was one of the harder ones to reverse, but they said that they've done it.
Well, how many types do they have, Drew? There's not just one procedure?
There's different techniques. All kinds of cutting and burning and tying and cauterizing.
Well, isn't there always some cauterizing?
I mean, there was at one point they were putting a valve in that you could sort of turn on and off.
Oh, really?
To reverse it.
You know, put the key in your ass and you had to use a...
Gold member, yeah.
Well, I guess that was another question I had for Dr. Drew. It's only been 2 years, and I was trying to look up on the internet, and they said that the... rates are good if it's within, like, 5 years.
It's better. Again, it's not 100% no matter what.
Yeah. But,
Did you have any sperm that was put away for a rainy day?
No. At the time, I was in another relationship that I thought was, you know, going to be it, and she didn't want kids, and neither did I, and I'd never wanted them, and then afterwards, I'd start...
And they gave you a vasectomy at age 22 with no kids?
Remember your mic?
What?
Yeah, but Engineer Mike, like, had to get a note from his PE teacher and stuff.
Yeah, but he was, like, 25, and he didn't, you know, convince he never going to have kids.
Well, there's a difference between 22 and 25. I know it's not much, but as far as having kids and guys, Jesus, early 20s, not having any kids. And what about it? Did they offer you an alternative, or did they say to you, do you want to keep a little sperm or freeze it or put some between the mattress and box spring? That's where I keep mine.
Not between your cheek and gum?
I spit it then into the mat between the mattress and box spring. Yeah.
Why didn't she have her tubes tied, or why didn't she do something? Why were you the one that had to
take care of this?
Well, I didn't get...
Yeah, yes, exactly. All right. It's all sperm under the bridge now.
And but, she, like, had... Well, she told me she had a couple of miscarriages, which was a lie, I just later found out. But she told me that the doctor told her that she couldn't actually carry it to term.
So, listen, here's the thing, Nick. Consult your doctor, but... we do think these things are fairly reversible.
I haven't
as
heard
a
the question.
Person. He wanted to reverse it.
No, no, he's already looked in. What is the question? Should he tell the girlfriend? Or what is your question exactly?
Okay. Do you think I should just get it reversed and not say anything?
Yeah, give it a try.
Well,
yeah.
Because I'm just scared that she'd be more mad at the lie than the fact that I actually did it and didn't tell her.
Well,
what's the danger of just telling her?
Well, I've tried to tell her whenever children came up, like, she really wants them, and I told her I didn't used to, but I do now, which is true.
Yeah, there's ways they can retrieve sperm from your testes and things, too.
Really?
Yeah, this stuff can be done. So just look.
They use a viper.
Stop digging in deeper. That's right. Stop digging in. You're then if you're, you know,
all right,
you're
just
problem.
Tell her you had this done, and you're going to get it.
Go ahead and undo it. Go forge ahead quickly and put it behind you.
What about freezing a little sperm, though? Shouldn't that almost be mandatory in a sense?
You would think, especially for that age, 22-year-old.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. It's like, all right, you can make this decision. You can beat off into this beaker, and we'll freeze it. And maybe they don't want to deal with the cost or the what have you. But, what if he'd done that? Would he be all right?
Yeah.
What would they do then at that point? They'd pack it back into the penis?
No, they'd deliver it into her.
Nah, I'd want to deliver it myself. I'd have them funnel it back into my penis.
You could just handle the turkey baster.
Nah, I'd want it. I'd do the turkey baster, but I'd put it back into my penis so I could squirt it out.
Thing for you could masturbate and use a turkey baster at the same time. It'd be perfect for you.
It's true.
Think about that. You might have perfected a technique here.
Yeah, I would stuff the sperm back into me. That's what I would do. I'd use one of those things you use, you ever bleed your car brakes, and, you know, it's usually a two-man job, but they...
Mm-hmm. That other way, they pack gunpowder to a cannon.
True. You never bled brakes in your life.
Of course not.
Jesse?
Yes.
You know what bleeding is? You know how to bleed brakes?
I don't know how to do it. No.
Get the air out of the system.
I don't.
Jesse, 19.
Yes.
Jesse, are bleeding brakes?
Nope.
That's fine. What's up?
Well, I had a question. Now, I've been seeing my boyfriend for 3 months now, and we've been having sexual intercourse, but after we first had sexual intercourse, all the romantic stuff had stopped.
Wow.
After that.
It's amazing. It sounds so hot. You sound like my health teacher, Miss Komisar. She was 68 years old. Miss Komisar.
Komisar. It's like
intercourse. When a male's phallus becomes enlarged and engorged with blood, he becomes tumescent. He places it inside the female's ovum and vagina, the labia majora. I'd be like, oh, please, I'm not going to beat off for an hour now. Do you hear me? An hour. And it's almost lunch.
Yeah, but I was wondering.
Oh, sorry, baby.
Mm-hmm. Now, would it just be that he wanted a piece, or is it just that he's 19 and immature and doesn't know how to?
I mean, once he now is sort of got where he wants the relationship to go, he stopped being quite so nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's an average 19-year-old male move.
Okay.
Many of them behave like that. Doesn't mean he doesn't like you, doesn't mean he wants to keep dating you, but they just are not on their best behavior anymore. This is really who he is now.
Okay.
Would you say, Adam?
Yeah.
You get the real guy after the goods.
So I shouldn't bring it up to him or...
Oh, yeah,
Tell him however you want to be treated. That's how he should treat you.
You're still in control, Jesse. Just remember that. You are in control.
Okay.
All right?
All righty. Thank you.
All right, good times, baby.
All right.
All right. Do you realize Miss Komisar asked me if my parents beat me?
Oh.
Did I ever tell you that?
That's good instincts on her part.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I could kick my dad's ass by my 8th birthday.
Yeah, but she picked up on the abuse. Neglect.
What
neglect,
abuse.
Not physical abuse.
She said, you know what? She was so sure she was right. Meanwhile, my parents have never laid a hand on me.
She's like
ever.
Us with a collar. It's good.
Yeah,
right?
Except for we're right half the time. She's like, honey, did your parents beat you? And I was like, no, but thanks for asking. And she was like... you can tell me. I was like, I know this. It sounds bad that, you know, of course, the battered child would deny this, but really, ask my buddy Chris or Zeb or one of my screwball friends. They'll tell you.
No, listen, I should believe that.
Listen, I'll drag my dad in here. You'll see clearly.
Did that follow on the heels on a discussion about excessive masturbation?
No, I didn't. I didn't broach that with her. Okay. How dare you, health teacher? We'll take ourselves a little break. Crystal Method here. We'll be right back.
Oh, so traumatic, Adam. He's still talking about high school. High school and now hair. I'm sorry everyone missed this five-minute tie, right? But, you know, it was a good time.
All right. Scott didn't really rub my hair. He just sort of touched it.
Are you okay
now? Shot.
Oh, yeah.
That Brillo, you can't do anything.
The Brillo head was no good.
No Glenn Campbell.
That's why I'm in therapy.
What was that with Glenn Campbell's hair? I just saw some...
It was a helmet.
Wow.
Like a helmet. But that's what we were all shooting for. So Adam took his hair, brush, and just brushed it over like Glenn Campbell.
That place.
Ended up like a flat top. Like an anvil.
Everybody. Like an anvil. Everybody, go out and get the Crystal Method CD Community Service. They're one of our favorites. And thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, guys.
See you guys.
Always a delight. Lincoln Park tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Clean up on aisle, Drew.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.